Let me say out loud this morning something you probably already know. The words of the Bible can be used for all sorts of wickedness. Parties who oppose the faith can do this for one reason or another, but even Christians and the church itself have repeatedly used the Bible to justify all sorts of horrible things throughout history. It was the church who, quoting the book of Joshua and other scriptures, imprisoned Galileo and banned his writings about the earth rotating around the sun. The Bible, according to the church of the 1600s, was clear that the earth stood still and the sun was the one rotating around the earth. And then when European Christians arrived in the Americas, the warfare and disease that came with them killed millions and millions of Native Americans. They had come for material gain, but it was the scriptures about the spread of the gospel that they used to justify the subjugation of Native peoples. And then supporters of the transatlantic slave trade, a couple hundred years later, used some of the very same scriptures about the spread of the gospel, paired with references to slavery in scripture, to justify their atrocities. And this isn't just a problem of hundreds of years ago, right? Still today, there are plenty of groups, peoples, and leaders out there, sometimes even churches, who use scripture in ways that I would call abusive. They use it not to show forth the good news of God, but to condemn, to oppress, to advocate for what they want. Misuse of scripture is an ancient art. It's one that the devil perfected. And we see the devil at this work in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. After Jesus twice references scripture as part of his refusal to turn stones into bread and to worship the devil, the devil gets wise to things and turns things around on Jesus, right? He says, "Okay, Jesus, you clearly listen to your scriptures, so why not? Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, and as Psalm 91 says, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." What the devil has done here is take the very words of scripture and use them against Jesus. He takes the psalm out of its context. He twists it so that it doesn't point to the goodness of God. He uses it instead to encourage Jesus to abuse his identity and his power for self-gain. Now, fortunately, Jesus knows that this is not right. And part of the reason Jesus knows that is that Jesus is familiar enough with the whole of Scripture, right? So when the devil plucks one little verse out, Jesus is able to compare that to the whole witness of Scripture and ask this question: is this isolated Scripture being used to call for something that is consistent with what I know about the character of God that shines forth in the whole witness of Scripture? And Jesus, who knows his Scriptures well, he knows that no. What the devil is asking him to do, to take advantage of the power of God for selfish reasons, he knows that this does not square with the character and the will of God. I think right now, more than any other time in my lifetime, these last few years, we've been having conversations nationally and internationally about what sources of information are trustworthy and who we can believe. We're starting to have conversations around this reality that not all sources of news are created equally, that not everything said or reported by people with influence and power is true and can be believed. And I think these are critical questions for the sake of our democracy. We're starting to wake up to the fact that just because someone posted it on social media, well, that doesn't make it true. Just because someone in power said it, maybe we can't simply believe it offhand. The credibility of the person speaking and their agenda matters, right? We're realizing that before we take something as truth, we often need to ask some questions first. And the same goes, I think, for how we use Scripture. We do believe and affirm that the Scriptures contained in the Bible are inspired by God. They are the best insight we have into our relationship with God. But we also acknowledge that humans have a less than perfect hand in writing Scripture down. We acknowledge that even Scripture can be misused. We believe that Scripture is the source and norm of our teaching and our practice, but we also know, at least we should, that you can't just lift one verse out of the Bible and expect it to settle a question. We know that context matters. And by context, we don't just mean what's going on in the passages before and after a verse. We also mean what was the situation of the people for whom the text was originally written. Because depending on the context, you can actually get wildly different guidance in the Bible about the same issue, right? You might recognize this passage from Isaiah. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And that seems pretty clear. But then what about this passage from Joel? Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. It's the exact reverse of what the passage from Isaiah says. The only way we can make sense of seeming contradictions is to do what Jesus does. We have to take these verses and interpret them in the larger context. We have to look at questions raised in the light of that larger context of God's character as it is revealed throughout the entirety of the Bible and not just in this particular line. And we all actually need to be able to do this interpretation. And that's why Martin Luther wanted to put the Bible in the language of the people, right? It doesn't help if you can't read it for yourself. But that doesn't mean that we should ever interpret the Bible alone. We need to be in conversation with each other about this. We need to lean on voices we trust when it comes to interpreting Scripture. We need to learn from each other and challenge each other. And together we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us to the truth. Here's the truth that I see in this whole narrative of the devil testing Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus is out there at his most vulnerable. He hasn't eaten for 40 days and he is famished. And yet, even in this weakened, vulnerable state, even when his whole body desperately needs food, Jesus is true to his calling. He does not, will not use the power of God for his own comfort or relief. He will not give in to the testing of the devil. He won't abandon his calling for the sake of earthly gain. He does not let the devil twist his God-given gifts into something self-serving. Jesus remains steadfast in his identity. He is the Son of God who accounts greatness through service to others. This is the kind of Savior we have. Thanks be to God that Jesus will not be turned aside from his mission of saving us. He will not abuse his power in self-interest, but make it perfect in weakness. He will go to the cross and die rather than to use violence to bring in his kingdom. He will defeat the power of the death that we all are bound to and bring us with him to new life. And the devil can't stop Jesus. His best efforts at deterring Jesus from God's mission of bringing life, those efforts of the devil fall short. God has given us the gift of the Holy Scriptures. They are the highest authority that we have right now for our life of faith. They are the way that we know about who God is and what God comes to do, which is why we have to take great care with the way that Scripture is used and interpreted by us and by other people. Together, we have to ask the question, does this track with the God of mercy and love revealed throughout the whole of the Scriptures that we know? Is this consistent with the life and teachings of Jesus, who came in love for the healing of the world? Where the answer is yes, we wholeheartedly lift that up as the authority for our lives together. And when the answer is no, well, then we have to ask questions and tread carefully, because even the devil has been known to quote Scripture for his purposes. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious Lord, guide us by your Spirit that we would interpret your word faithfully. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.